the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory to Christ. Brothers and sisters, we heard one of the Lord's most famous parables. It's a parable that's recorded only in the Gospel of St. Luke, but it's a parable that's heard by the ears of man from century to century, from place to place. The parable of the prodigal son. This is a parable that calls us to repentance, calls us to change. It calls us to our Heavenly Father. Just last Sunday, we spoke about the Lord's call to unity, that we're to be united with God and to be united with one another, and that He, Jesus Christ Himself, becomes the focal point of that unity, that it's in Him that all things are held together, all things are made one. Last Sunday, we spoke about an illustration, a biblical image that helps us to understand our Christian path. We said that with God we have this absolute and perfect love, unconditional love for man, for his creation. And he also has this perfect hatred for that which harms us, for that which we suffer from, for that which causes our death, this perfect hatred for sin. We said that like Moses, who parted the Red Sea and had one wall on one side and one wall on the other, God gives us a pathway to newness of life. And that His perfect love for us never spills over into love for sin, and His perfect hatred for sin never spills over into hatred for us. These two are kept perfectly divided, and we're able to walk that straight and narrow path. That straight and narrow path that's given to us by God's love, and by God's truth. As we enter into this Lenten season in just another couple weeks, we focus more intently on walking that path, that way to salvation. In today's parable, we are given three things that can help us along that journey. There are many lessons that we can learn from this parable, but today we'll speak about just three. The first is repentance. The second is forgiveness and reconciliation. And the third is mission. That third aspect of today's parable is often not spoken about, but it's there. It's very important. First, repentance. This is a parable that is called after the prodigal son, the one who left his father's home, who, having asked for the inheritance ahead of time, inheritance were only given when someone would die. He asked ahead of time for this inheritance, almost saying that he wished his father were dead so that he could have the money and go his own way and do his own thing and not be subject to life in the household. And he went his own way and he lived a profligate lifestyle. He lived in sin. And he suffered terribly, internally, spiritually, and then externally he suffered terribly. There's famine that came over the land. He had nothing. And he was dying internally and externally. And he realized he needed to do something. He needed to turn back to life as he had it when he was a young child. He needed to turn back to his father's love, his father's care, where he had life as it was meant to be. And he made that repentance. He determined in his mind that he was sorry for what he had done. And he said, I'm going to go back to my father, and I'm going to say this and this and this to him. And he started that journey. He got up and he left. He put his repentance into action. And he started that journey. And what happens? But the father meets him while he's still a long way off. This father who showed such love and patience for him, who gave him the inheritance ahead of time, who didn't begrudge this, who gave it to him, and also gave him his love and his patience to wait, because the father knew what would happen. He knew that he would squander it. He knew that he wasn't ready for the inheritance yet. He gave it anyway. And he waited for that moment of repentance. And as soon as he saw it, he ran out to meet him and embraced him and kissed him. And he restored him fully to sonship. What were the three things that prodigal son said that he would say to his father? Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. He would acknowledge his sin. He would also say, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And the third thing, make me as one of your hired servants. Is this what he said to his father? Not quite. He got through the first two. He wasn't even able to get to the part about making me as one of your hired servants because his father cut him off and welcomed him as a son, not as a servant. And he gave him full forgiveness, full reconciliation, full restoration. Now, the parable is not just about the prodigal son, even though it's named after him. It's also about the other son. The other son sees what's going on, and he's upset. He's angry. Because he says he served his father for all of these years, never sinned against him, kept his commandments, did what he was supposed to do, was working in the field that very day that the celebration happened. And he rails at his father in his anger. And he's not interested in forgiveness and reconciliation. Now, the repentance that was offered by the prodigal is a lesson for us. Turn back to God. But there has to also be an understanding that the older son needed some repentance too. That he also needed to change his mind. That he needed to become like his father, full of love and patience and forgiveness. That though he hadn't left the home, he still hadn't matured. He still hadn't become like his father. Both sons needed to grow up, needed to grow into their father, needed to become one with him. You know, it's interesting, this inheritance in Judaism in these ancient times, the way that they divided the inheritance was that all of the sons would receive a portion of the father's inheritance, but the firstborn son would receive a double portion. So in this case, the firstborn son would receive two-thirds of the estate, and then the second, one-third. Now, one-third was squandered. One-third was lost. And when the son came back, he had nothing left. He had no inheritance. He had wasted it. The other two-thirds belonged to the older son. What do you think the father was preparing the older son for? To share the inheritance. He had two portions, to give one to the younger son. And if he did this, if this older son did this, what would he do but be like his father? And that ultimately is the mission. We go from repentance to forgiveness and reconciliation to mission. We talk about this journey as we see the image of Moses parting the Red Sea. We see the Lord making a passageway, a pathway for us to newness of life. And we go along this journey in steps. The first is our repentance, our change of mind. And when we do that, God forgives us and reconciles us to Him and makes us what we were all along, His sons and His daughters. But He actually asks us to do something more, something in addition, if we're truly to be like Him. And that's to be agents of that repentance and reconciliation for the world. Our job is not just to be saved, but to help others be saved. To make it through the parting of the Red Sea, so to speak. To get to the other side. And you know what? To decide it's not about the inheritance. It's not about us. But it's about those that we care about. Those that we love. Those who are also called to be the Lord's sons and daughters. Those who are still back in Egypt, in slavery, to sin, death, and the devil. That we're called to go back to them and to say, as God has saved and healed and reconciled me and us, so He can do this for you. Come and pass over. Come and experience newness of life. Come and enter into your Heavenly Father's kingdom that He's prepared for all of us. This is a wonderful, wonderful parable for us to consider as we prepare to enter into the Great Fast, into this period of an intense journey It reminds us of our own repentance, that we have to offer repentance. It reminds us that God will forgive us fully and completely for everything and reconcile us with Him. And it reminds us that if we are truly to be like our Heavenly Father, that we have to be about His business, which is seeking unity and reconciliation with all of mankind. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Amen.